What's going on, everyone, and welcome into the first episode of the year of the Baseball Rundown with Coach Raz. I'm Ryan Lombardi, and I am joined by Coach Raz himself. We're going to dive into all things Bonnie's baseball, and I'm very excited, you know, to get this thing going, Raz.
Ryan, good to have you, man. You're not a Thomas, though, so you're trying to confuse me here. We've had a couple Thomas the last 2 years, so now I got to get used to Ryan, but it's all right. I like it.
We're changing it up here on the Baseball Rundown, but no. Should be a good episode today. We got a lot of things to talk about going on this fall. Let's just dive right into it. So what's going on right now with the baseball team? Obviously, we're about 3 weeks into the semester. We got all the guys back on campus. What are you guys up to?
Well, you know, the fall is very specific as far as, you know, objectives and what we're trying to do, right? The first 2 weeks, we're trying to get guys back in shape. You know, we're trying to get the guys acclimated to campus, you know, the new campus culture that a lot of them have come into. And we think we have 19 new guys this year. So, you know, it's almost half your team. So getting them on campus and kind of used to their routines for Division I baseball and this campus and trying to get them comfortable and settled in is kind of our priority the first 2 weeks before we really hit them with a full schedule and start our 45-day window for the fall where we can go, you know, full go. So, you know, first 2 weeks have been good. We've made some adjustments this year to our fall, and I think that's, you know, something we want to do every year, right? Like, we want to try to present a different program every year and make it a little better. And I think this year we really tried to put an emphasis on the lifting and conditioning side of things this year. So, you know, what we were doing last year, we've almost went more than double of the workouts for our guys this fall. And, you know, I think it's been good. I think the reaction from the guys have been good. They're really excited about the changes we've made. You know, we've added some plyometric stuff, some leaping and bounding and balance stuff to go along with our weightlifting program. And we're in the weight room more now. So, I'm excited to see how all that pays off, but really excited to, you know, make those changes and have the guys accept them and like them and kind of motivate them even more. So,
what are some of the specifics that you guys have really been focusing on within the weight room, like certain areas you're really training the hardest?
Well, for me personally, the plyometric stuff is something we've been doing more as a coaching staff. So, you know, we set up Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, we're out there at 7 a.m., you know, running through the stations. It takes us about 40, 45 minutes to get through, and then they go right into lift with Coach Fisk. So it works out well because you're kind of getting your conditioning and your lifting done, you know, before 8:30, 9 o'clock, and you kind of focus the rest of the day on practice. Monday and Wednesdays have been more of the lifting side of things where Coach Fisk gets after them. But, you know, I think Coach has done a good job of kind of changing up the lifts a little bit and getting them to where they're moving well and not necessarily doing a lot of power lifting. But, you know, there's an aspect of that that's in there. But I just think our plan, and we're all on the same page, has been really good this year so far.
No, I love that. That's great. So you mentioned before 19 new guys coming to the team. How many of them have played Division I baseball before?
Just a few. So there hasn't been, I think – when you try to put together a recruiting class, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, right? Like, so we don't want to specifically just go after portal kids. You know, we don't want to specifically just go after junior college kids. We don't want to specifically just go after high school kids, right? I think it's trying to find a good mix of all three of those areas. And I think this class kind of represents that, right? You know, out of 19 guys, you know, six of them are high school kids, and you know, we got four university transfers, and then we've got nine junior college kids. So, there's 13 guys or so that have college experience. There's, you know, six high school kids that are guys we want to develop in our program that we like, that are talented. And, you know, just trying to have a good mix of your recruiting class is something we focus on and, you know, try to manage our roster appropriately for that. So, yeah, I mean, we're really happy with everyone we've brought in. I think it's, you know, the first 2 years has kind of been, you know, you're bringing in some guys and you hope it works out and you take some chances and those chances just really haven't worked out great for us as far as them, you know, accepting what we needed them to do here in our program. And I feel like this year's group is a lot more like in line with what we want for them and what we expect from them. And they're very open to what their roles are with us currently. So it's been good.
No, that's great. Is there anybody specific you want to dive into that is coming in this year? Obviously, you mentioned like six high school freshmen. Are those guys that you've, like you and your staff has recruited, like you guys recruited yourselves, or any of them walk-ons?
Yeah, so the high school kids we brought in this year is actually the first group of high school kids where I was able to kind of go watch them over the summer headed into their senior year. When I got here my first year, I had gotten here in like late August, early September. So I didn't have that whole summer to kind of get that high school class in line. The good part was that, you know, some of the kids that we did grab in that class have worked out really well for us. Like, you know, Antonio Cordero.
That was one I wanted to bring up for sure.
Gavin Constantine has been somebody who we've seen develop that came in that group. Even Alex Barger. And so there's been quite a few that did really well as freshmen, you know, and have, we project them to do well as they grow and get older. So, you know, it's not like we missed on those kids, but we just didn't have a whole summer to go kind of watch them, follow them, bring them into campus and recruit them. So this year's group was very specific in that, right? Like these are guys that we saw over the course of that summer and brought them into campus and had them, you know, come to a prospect camp and do a visit and kind of do the whole recruiting bit. So, it's good to get our guys on here that we've had a chance to kind of really go see and project a little bit. And, you know, it's been good. I think all of them have shown flashes of, you know, that we see why we recruited them and why we brought them in here. Owen Smith is a freshman we brought in that we liked his bat, and he's been, you know, really aggressive so far this fall and has had some hits. Jackson Ross, a two-way local player that, you know, we really like on the mound. I think.
Yeah, with the two-way players, do you have any in the program right now?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Jackson's one specifically that we've kind of are doing that with right now.
And then how does that go about? Like, what is the focus for him? Because obviously, in practice a lot, like, pitchers are doing one thing, position players are doing another. So how does he find a balance of what day works for him?
So Owen Smith's kind of the same way too. So he was kind of a pitcher and an outfielder, but had arm surgery. We see Owen more having more of an impact maybe hitting-wise early in his career. So his focus has been the hitting side. He really hasn't gotten on the mound much. Where Jackson's someone that we think can help us on the mound this year. So Jackson's really got to focus on the pitching side and then get in his hitting when he can. We try to figure out which one is the quickest route for them to get onto the field. And then we just try to get them reps in the other areas to see if it's something we want to continue to do. But Jackson was another freshman I think can help us. Jack Ryman is, you know, a really good left-handed stick infielder. It's great to have a left-handed infielder. Brian Carruthers has stood out this fall, definitely in the mix to get a lot of time this year as a freshman. And Sam Baruch is somebody we're really excited about on the mound. He's been electric so far, and we're excited to kind of see him get out there and keep facing Division I hitters and see if he can keep getting out. So, but he's, you know, very projectable, 6'5", 190. You know, fastball's been sitting in the 87, 88 range. So as a freshman, that's, you know, exciting to see.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? I'm only gonna ask because I met him one day about Tom Wilkie. He's from Drew, which is a D3 school in Jersey, and he's a lefty junior. What do you say about just bringing like a D3 guy over to the D1 side?
I think there's been a lot of schools that have shown success in doing that. Connecticut, somebody that kind of stands out to me. UConn has done a really good job of bringing in some D3 guys, and I think their starting shortstop last year was a shortstop at Oswego for 3 years. So, I mean, it's really about if you can play, you know, and I think Tom's a guy that went to D3 and realized that he needed to get better, and he actually took a gap year. So it wasn't even straight from D3. It was Division III for 2 years, gap year, and now he's here. But, you know, when you're a 6'5 lefty and you can run it up to 94, those are the chances you take. So he's been great so far this fall. He's worked hard. We really like him on the mound, and exciting to see what he can kind of offer us. And he's one of those college transfer guys. The other two we brought in on the mound were college transfer guys, was James Capilupo and David James. You know, James was freshman of the year for UMass Lowell last year, and David James, you know, pitched a lot of meaningful innings for USC Upstate. Both are grew up locally, you know, more local kids, so I think they wanted to kind of find their way back home a little bit, and this was a good fit for them, and I think both of those guys are going to have an impact right away for us, so... Yeah, you know, and obviously the junior college kids, they're always hungry. There's a ton of them, but that's where I came from. So, you know, I understand what they bring to the table as well and can kind of be insert and play guys. So it's a good mix.
And do you think the part of that is just kind of getting older, growing up, kind of like fitting into their bodies more, where maybe they don't develop as well until maybe they're 19, 20 years old, and unlike some guys who go Division I straight from high school?
Yeah, I've always said that the biggest jump I see physically is the sophomore year. So, like, usually when kids go from freshman to sophomore, you'll see their body change quite a bit. So when you get those junior college kids, they've kind of went through that body change. Plus, they're playing at a good level. I mean, there's really good junior college teams out there. So they come in with some confidence and some hunger, you know. They definitely come in with a little chip on their shoulder, ready to kind of insert and have an impact. So, yeah.
And that's got to feel good because, I mean, you were at Herkimer for so long, and it's kind of like when you bring those junior college kids in, it's got to feel good for you because that's kind of like your homegrown.
For sure. We want to create opportunities for everybody, but, you know, we definitely don't close the door to whatever, you know. There's doors we haven't opened yet that we still want to. You know, when I was at Herkimer, we see a lot of kids from Japan, too, and we haven't done it yet, but we've been close, and, you know, I think you'll see that in the future here. You know, we'll have some kids from over there, and, you know, we've already went across the seas a little bit, so we've got some Canadians, and, well, that's not across the seas, but different countries, you know.
Yeah, country lines. Canadians, and
we got a kid from Australia here, so, you know, we are working on those connections and trying to, you know, get our recruiting base to widen out as far as we can. So,
yeah. Yeah, I love that. So then let's hop into this weekend. You guys got Penn State on Friday, you mentioned. So, I mean, like, what's kind of the overall goal? Because obviously it's just a scrimmage, but you still want to compete in that game. So what's the overall goal of playing a Power 5 school like that?
Well, I think that we're trying to evaluate our players all fall, right, so they can – kind of figure out what their role is going to be with us in the spring. And I think Penn State's a great game for us to kind of put guys in situations and see how they react and how they do. You know, we have this constant fight when you're inner squatting, right? Like when you're inner squatting, it's like, man, we're not hitting great right now, but we really like our pitchers, right? So it's like, are we really good on the mound? And our hitters are good, but we just got really good pitchers they're seeing right now? Or is it, you know, maybe our hitting isn't quite as good as we would like, but the pitchers are okay? You know, so it's kind of trying to figure out that balance a little bit. Like, you know, for the most part, the pitchers have been pretty dominant so far in the, you know, three scrimmages that we've had. So,
and I think that's expected just because, I mean, yeah, a lot of the guys, almost all of them probably play over the summer. But there is that little gap in between and just getting readjusted back to live pitching.
Yeah, for sure. But it's, you know, you've seen it kind of work both ways. We really haven't had the outbreak with the bats yet. So, you know, I think Penn State would be a great chance for us to go see, play somebody else, see their arms and see what our arms do against their lineup and kind of see what our bats do against theirs. You know, where... You know, you don't get a lot of those opportunities in the fall to do that. So, you know, we tend to typically bring a junior college in here and for recruiting purposes and, for, you know, a chance for them to see the campus and see what we're about and things like that. We've kind of rotated that year to year. You know, we did Niagara my first year. We did Erie my second year, and then we've got Herkimer coming here, which is my old junior college, in a couple weeks. So, you know, to get a Power Four on the schedule now.
Yeah, it is a Power Four. Yeah,
to get a Power Four team on the schedule in the fall, along with a junior college, I think it gives us a good indication of the different levels and kind of get a look at our guys.
No, yeah, I love that. Is that a game where you're putting your best lineup out, or is it kind of a game you're going to cycle guys in, maybe pitchers only throw one, two innings?
Pitchers are definitely going to go two innings or one, just because we want to – it's only 14 innings. So, you know, if we've got nine guys we really want to see, it becomes a little bit more difficult for everybody to get two or three innings. But hitting-wise, you know – I mean, it's early, too, right? So we're trying to make these decisions based off three scrimmages and one full week of practice. So, you know, sometimes it's hard, and we won't be able to get every player into the game Friday. There's just not enough innings to do that. But, you know, we'll rebound on Saturday with a scrimmage, and guys that don't play on Friday will get out there on Saturday when we're back here and, you know, still get a chance to evaluate them as well. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard to kind of – there very well could be a player that doesn't play on Friday that ends up playing a lot in the spring. So, you know, you just got to kind of get reps and collect as much data as you can in the fall to make those decisions for the spring.
Yeah. Just like on another note with all that, I mean, you have completely flipped this program on its head from the time you started until now. And I mean, I think everyone just expects like the improvement to keep going up. So what are some of like your biggest goals this year? I know it's early and the season hasn't even started yet. But what, like I would say, what is your biggest goals for this year?
I mean, without a doubt, and it's not to say the goals change. The goals have been the same for the last 2 years. It just hasn't happened for us, but we really want to get in that A-10 tournament. I mean, it's just something that we're really focused on. It's kind of what we want to do. It's what we want to get to. Everything we do kind of leads into that conference, you know, play, and we want to position ourselves in the spot so we can be playing some postseason baseball here. And, you know, I'm very hopeful. I definitely think that we have, you know, the talent to get there, and, you know, the work ethic's been great so far. So, you know, that's the goal. I think anything beyond that is just extra, you know. But you got to – I took a coaching class in college, right? Good old Mark Peeler down at Erskine was the basketball coach down there and taught a winter class in coaching. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that kind of stuck with me is, like, when you're making goals for your team, you just want – you want them to be achievable goals, right? Like, running out here on the podcast and being like, we want to make Omaha, right? Like – it's great. Would love to do that more than anything, right? But, you know, I think sometimes it just – you have when you set goals, they have to be achievable goals, right? And not to say that that can't happen, but the likelihood or percentage of that happening is very tough when you're, you know, trying to rebuild the program. So, you know, we really just want to get in that A-10 tournament. And then once we get there, we can set another goal, right? But that's kind of the first step for us.
Definitely. I love that. And then just like you mentioned, the work ethic has been, there. Is that, do you notice like an improvement in morale and work ethic from like last season to this season? Especially with guys just like maybe finding new confidence in summer ball. Like, how can you speak on that?
Yeah. I haven't been disappointed with work ethic the first 2 years, right? Like, I feel like both teams that we've had since I've been here worked hard. It's just, you know, trying to find the pieces that are going to help you get better. And, you know, they work hard. I mean, if you don't, you probably won't be here long. You know, I think we've had a couple guys that we've moved on from in the past year or two that didn't fit to the majority of the culture of the program, right? So, for the most part, they've worked really hard the last couple years. We just have come up short for one reason or another. And, you know, we've tried to fix those issues we've had that have allowed us to come up a little bit short, we think. But yeah, I mean, they're good kids. I mean, they're St. Bonaventure kids, right? So I think this place is a little special, and the type of student athletes we get here and the type of students we get here are good kids. You know, like, You guys are fun to be around. The campus is a cool environment to be around. So it's, it's a lot of fun to be on campus with the atmosphere that we have here. So, they work hard. I think it's about us pushing the envelope and trying to make them get everything we can out of them. And I think based off the first full week, I think they'll tell you that we're pushing them to the wall. So it's been good.
So you would say that they've kind of bought into what you guys are trying to do here?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, looking forward to a really good year. And then just on like another note, moving away just a little bit from the team overall, just for you, if you had to say like, what are your core values in coaching? Because you've been doing it so long. What would you say those core values are?
I think really, the one thing that I've always kind of hung my hat on is demanding accountability, right? Like, we want people to be accountable for themselves, right? Like, we want to teach them life skills that are going to allow them to be successful on the field and away from the field. And the big part of that is accountability, right? Like, it's not always about what you're doing at practice. Like, what are you doing away from practice? What are you doing when you sit down to eat? What are you doing when you go to bed? What do you do? Like, all of those things play a factor, right? So if you're demanding accountability from them and what you want from them, the expectations should be clear, right? And I think we do a good job of that. And, at the end of the day, it's really about numbers too, right? Like, numbers speak in baseball. You either hit 300 or you hit 200 or you hit whatever, right? I mean, like, the numbers part will hold you accountable, right? And we're looking for guys to put up numbers at the end of the day. Like, I don't think that there's a lot of kids on the team that aren't talented. We have a lot of talent, but at the end of the day, production's what matters, right? So that's, it just kind of goes along with that accountability.
Speaking of the numbers, it kind of brings up the idea of just like the analytics in baseball. Are you more of an analytics guy, or like, are you more gut feeling in the moment kind of thing?
I think it's both, right? Like, you have to take a look at the numbers and then decide what your options are and decide what is the best for that moment, right? Like, sometimes the numbers may not line up, but are you really going to take your best player out because of a numbers game? You know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of, you have to play the numbers, right? Like, are they a majority? When you talk analytics, a lot of times you're talking percentages, or, like 60% of the time this will happen, or 90% of the time this happens. When you have those numbers that kind of get far-fetched from the median, right? So 60-40 is not necessarily a glowing number that you're going to be like, oh, yeah, we've got to do this because 60% of the time we're right, 40% of the time we're wrong. That's more of a coin flip. But, if somebody struggles with certain aspect of the game at 90%, maybe we're going to attack that more because it's such a high percentage, right? So I think it's a tool, like anything else. Like, you use it, but it's not your end-all, be-all.
Yeah. Would you say, yeah, you use it, but at the end of the day, it's like what your gut tells you?
For sure.
Definitely. Yeah. I love that. And then just like from like a leadership side, do you have captains with the baseball team?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then like, what kind of like, what do you like look for in those team leadership roles?
You look for guys that are accountable, right? Guys that have had production, and you look for guys that are responsible, not just on the field, but off the field, in the classroom, what kind of teammates they are, things like that. With the military side of me, I think a big part of it is honesty too. Like, we want to be honest. We want to be an open book. We want to be able to talk. And, so I think a lot of that goes into it as well. The trust thing is a big thing for me. Like, I'll be honest. If I don't trust you, it makes it tough to coach you, like, there has to be a trust there. So, I think all of that goes into play when you're picking out captains or your leadership. But, I think, it's funny, like, a buzzword you hear a lot from coaches is culture. And it's like, as a coach, you people say, like, as a coach, I want to set a certain culture. And, like, I appreciate that. But the reality of it is, like, I don't think that I'm going to set the culture, right? Like, I think culture comes from the players. Like, as much as you recruit guys and bring guys in, like, it's tough for a head coach who's only allowed to be with you 20 hours a week to set the culture for the team all the time, right? Like, culture has to come from within, right? And I think that that's something you're looking for in your leaders, that guys will help set that culture and kind of live that way. And it's, you know, a reflection of the team. Like, if you have good culture, you usually have good leaders. If you have bad culture, you usually have bad leaders, and sometimes from the top down. But, you know, I think it's trying to find those guys that are going to help build that culture on and off the field.
That's it. That's a perfect answer. And then I guess just one last question before we end here. If you had to pick one game from your first few years here at Bonaventure, like favorite game ever, where it's the like vibes are high and maybe it was a big win, but just your favorite game at Bonaventure thus far.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think probably the Louisville game last year. I just, for that to be their home opener on a Friday night, to, you know, keep it close and battle back and force extras and then come up with a big hit and extras to take the lead and, you know, see a guy, you know, go out there and battle on the mound and put it on his shoulders a little bit. And, you know, I think that's one that kind of shocked a lot of people, right? And kind of set a lot of messages and good wishes back towards us. So I think that had a big impact on our program. And it was a big win for sure. I think personally for me, like, you know, getting your first win's always big, you know, being down in New Mexico and getting that my first year was cool in a game where we just lit the world on fire. I think we scored 22 runs or something like that and had a ton of home runs, and
it's got to feel good as a first win.
Yeah, first win. You know, we're on the West Coast and long travel and things like that. I think that's a cool one. I think, you know, beating Middle Tennessee State for the first time last year was cool because that's my old coach. You know, to beat him is you know, something that feels good because, you know, he used to coach me and it's kind of my mentor. So to get a chance to get one of those wins, you know, feels good for me personally. You know, the Penn State win was really big because it's local. You know, more people may be tied into that. Those are midweek games too, though. So, you know, like the midweek games are a little different than your weekend action. That's why the Louisville one kind of stands out. But, you know, and then I'll be honest with you, man, the senior game last year was pretty special. I think it's emotionally, it was one that really made me like tear up and be proud of those guys. Like, you know, to go out and complete the sweep of Fordham was our first conference sweep. You know what I mean? So, like, for those seniors to go out that way and, you know, seeing Jagger Nucci have a couple hits on the day when, you know, his role wasn't as big as I think he would have hoped or we would have hoped. But to have that big moment, his last game was awesome. See Putney hit a home run, who battled injury a lot last year. You know, Jackson had big moments that, you know, it's like seeing the seniors go out that way with a sweep on their home field, their last game, like, that was a pretty emotional game. It was definitely pretty cool. So, you know, there's been, in 2 years, there's been some big moments for us, and I think that's what's exciting about the future. I think if we can continue to build on that, I mean, we got some really big ones on the schedule this year. So, when that gets put out here in a little bit, I think we may have opened it up last year on the podcast, but, and most people know, but, you know, we're going to get a chance to go down and face two programs that have national championships in their trophy case. So, you know, to go play a Vanderbilt, to go play a Tennessee, I think those are going to be pretty cool moments for our guys this year. So excited about going to do that. But yeah, it's a long ways away. We got a long way to go.
Are those series against those teams?
It's part of our spring break week.
Okay.
So we'll go to Middle Tennessee. We do a tournament down there the first weekend. We play Vanderbilt on a Wednesday. But then we end it with a series with Tennessee, which is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, yeah.
That's exciting. Those are definitely big games for you guys, and definitely looking forward to that. But we got to get through the fall first.
Yeah.
Let these guys develop. But, no, really looking forward to the season this year, Coach.
Awesome.
All right. So that will do it for
episode one.
Yes.
In the books.
Let's make it happen.
All right.
So thank you, Coach Raz, and we'll see you guys next time right here on the Baseball Rundown.